You know, Simon Peter had come a long way in his faith journey with God. He continued to adhere to certain preconceived ideas and beliefs that limited his ability to connect with people who were different than him. Have you ever been in a situation or a meeting or something where you sort of felt uncomfortable because it seemed like people were different than you, or somewhere it just, even maybe their thoughts and actions might have gone contrary to what you were really thinking about and your philosophies? And sometimes that can make us feel very uncomfortable. The thought may linger as to why God chose Simon Peter to be emissary to the Roman Gentiles. Now, we normally give credit to the Apostle Paul for being a missionary to the Gentiles, but Simon Peter, as well as Philip, the disciple, as we know, they sort of blazed the trail to open up the world of Gentiles in a Jewish world. Probably the reason that Simon Peter was appointed to this task was his willingness to step out and attempt new things. We know that when Christ was in his earthly ministry, Simon Peter was sort of the spokesperson for the disciples. He was the outspoken one as well. And so he became the quasi-leader. And after Christ's ascension to heaven, Simon Peter did become sort of the leader of the disciples in Jerusalem. But you know, most people resist change. And if they are reasonably comfortable, there is usually a reluctance to change whether it would improve things or not. I'll bet right now we could all plead guilty to being creatures of habit, aren't we? We get up in the morning, you have your routine. It probably doesn't vary all that much, unless you're invited out for breakfast or something like that. You basically do your own. If you do eat breakfast, you either have your coffee or tea, and you have either a small breakfast or a banquet for breakfast. It's regardless whatever you're used to. And then we start the daily routine Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and it continues that way. And most of the days we know what we are to do, whether it's to go shopping or to make phone calls or to pay bills. We do that. But if things get out of sort a little bit, it rattles us to no end. Now, I'm not going to show hands, but I know we all have that. If things fall out, sometimes I feel a little lost, don't you? Have you changed your calendar? It's November now. Sometimes I forget that I think it was 2 months ago, I waited till the middle of September before I changed my calendar. It just didn't seem like it should be September. Well, now it doesn't seem like it'll be November, does it? But we all have those moments. And like with Simon Peter, he was a creature of habit too, and there is a reluctance on all our parts to do some changing. How God spoke to Simon Peter was unusual, but God frequently reveals plans related to our human situation. Had God directly told Simon Peter to go and visit Cornelius, he probably would have run like Jonah in the opposite direction. God met Simon Peter praying on rooftop at Simon the Tanner's house. You remember I shared with you that Simon the Tanner lived on the beach on the Mediterranean. It was around lunchtime and Simon Peter was hungry. God grabbed his attention through food in a vision, but it wasn't a Big Mac or a Publix submarine sandwich that was brought to his mind or appetite. God displayed in this vision a huge sheet from heaven, and it contained all kinds of food and perhaps even some livestock animals in that. God told him it was all right to eat, But Simon replied negatively that he wouldn't touch any food that wasn't kosher. Simon was a devout Jew, and unless it had been approved by the law of Moses, he wasn't going to touch it. Talk about stubbornness. But you know, this was a good example how God touched Simon Peter, because he was hungry. And showing that food probably made his mouth water, even though he wasn't used to some of it. Yesterday I was looking over this scripture verse and I realized it was lunchtime and I was hungry. And guess what I made? I shared this with some people yesterday. I made some crackling bread. Not as good as Barbara Alstoff's, but you know, it was crackling bread. And oh, it was so good. And I had some buttermilk with it. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been reading this scripture. And I said, I know now how God can get our attention. It's usually a tap on the shoulder, and it's something that we're familiar with. And God literally wanted Simon Peter to do this. And as a reminder from last week, Simon Peter had been educated from childhood in the teachings of the Mosaic law, that even God could not dislodge such training immediately. God repeated this vision of the sheet several more times while Simon Peter, until he received the point. God frequently must confront us with what is actually processing in our thinking. Y'all remember a while back, I don't know, it's been a year or two ago, I used the illustration that when I was in the third grade, I was in Sunday school, the teacher, Miss Florence, godly woman if there ever was, and she told me, Anthony, you're never to write in your Bible. That's a no-no. I can't remember, she said it was a sin, but you know what? Childhood teaching continues, you know, even when you're an adult. And it's understandable why Simon Peter couldn't throw that off. And I think it was a week or so ago, I think it was here, I know it was, I heard somebody say, well, I'm going to write this in my Bible. And I stopped and my jaw dropped. And I thought, ooh, that leash has been pulled, jerked on me again. I said, there's nothing wrong with writing in your Bible if it's to remind you of a special verse or whatever it is. But lo and behold, that childhood teaching bit me again. It can happen to all of us. It can actually happen to each and every one of us. Quite often, it's not easy to overcome, and it may take some time. Simon Peter thought about this vision when suddenly three people arrived at Simon the Tanner's door looking for him from the town of Joppa, 30 miles away. They explained that Cornelius, Roman centurion, desired for Simon Peter to come to his home and discuss with him about Christ. This placed Simon Peter in a dilemma. You remember I said this last week, Jewish law prohibited a Jew from socializing, associating, or even rubbing elbows with a Gentile. Entering Gentile buildings or touching their possessions or to accept the hospitality of a Gentile, again, was a no-no. God insisted that Simon Peter relinquish his prejudice, which was restricting his potential. What would we have done in this situation? Would we have gone on or would we have sat still? That's a good question there. What kind of walls are built in our so-called defense system simply because of preconceived ideas learned over the years? When we are open to God, like you remember the children of Israel were at Jericho, the walls will come tumbling down. But up until that time, Simon Peter was unaware that he would soon have any other mission than to the Jews. Simon Peter had some flaws and rough edges, but he was a teachable spirit. And we all have rough edges and we can't, and some flaws within us. And so we can be teachable as well. I think it's called flexibility is what we can say. Now, I was talking about my childhood and about this Sunday school teacher, and you all have had probably similar cases. Cases in Simon Peter had been taught the Torah as a child too. Now, does that mean that I should throw out everything I learned in Sunday school and say, forget it? Absolutely not. I still adhere to Sunday school theology, but I can still learn. I can still grow in the faith, and it won't threaten that Sunday school theology. And I've told this illustration, you know, how many of you still have furniture that you started out when you got married? I'm sure there's a number of you do, but you've added to that since then. Maybe you even have furniture that your parents or grandparents even owned. Nothing wrong with it. But you don't throw it all out to get new furniture, do you? Or what about clothes, which we can all plead guilty to that. We have a few that's pushed their way back into the rear of the closet. But still, yet, when we go buy new clothes, we don't throw everything out, every article, whether it's a shirt or a blouse, a dress, or a pair of pants. No, we keep some of them. But at the same time, we can add to it as well and even look better than we did the day before. So what Simon Peter was coming to was a moment of crisis. What was he to do? And guess what he did? He yielded to what God wanted him to do. And until you yield to God, you will not have a moment's peace. When I was called to go in the ministry, I struggled with that. I was making excuses. I did not have a moment's peace until I yielded to God and said, God, I'll become a minister. And from that moment on, I never looked backward. I never only looked forward. That is what we are to do if God wants us to do something. We're to yield to Him because we're just not going to be happy or pleased or sedate or whatever it is. Because when God does and wants us to do something, God will be the winner. We can fight Him. We can squirm. We can do whatever we want to. But God's going to be the ultimate victor in this battle. And so in that tug of war. So never forget that God won over Simon Peter. And Simon Peter did what God wanted him to. You know, very often we miss God's blessings because of writing people or situations off too quickly. Have you ever been reluctant to go to a meeting or to been invited to some club or something like that? Because, well, I don't know. I don't know if they'll even like me or not. But you go and you find out you've made some new friends. That is the secret. And if you are reluctant, pray to the Lord about it, that the Lord will open some doors through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? God will never let you down. And think about principles or beliefs which limit our ability to make those new acquaintances or to achieve a goal. What can be done to widen those circles of unlikely friends? How would others feel if we moved beyond those limitations? The Jews regarded, remember this, even educated and cultured people like Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, which made him a citizen of the Roman Empire. They thought of him as a pure pagan and a barbarian unless he had fully subscribed to Jewish practices. Now, Cornelius was a God-fearer. Now, what does that mean? It means he attended synagogue. He believed in God, not that he didn't believe that Caesar was God. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But word had spread about this man, this Messiah named Jesus Christ, and he wanted to hear more about him. You know, the trouble about Judaism at that time, they had so many hoops of fire hurdles to jump through. Now, I was in a Sunday school class one time about 20 years ago. I don't think I was teaching it, but I sat in on it, Presbyterian church. And I remember we discussed about our faith and what we have to do to get there. And I said, faith must be simple. Now, did I say simple-minded? No, I'm simple-minded myself. But I'm talking about simple. And this man, and he was a very brilliant man. I think he was a Yale graduate. He said, no, faith must be complicated because you must think it through. Well, to a degree, he was correct. But hey, we can't put a lot of obstacles in front of it, can we? If we do, we'll get frustrated and we'll end up chucking the whole thing. Some people I know have become atheists because others have made the Christian faith so complicated. God said throughout, come to me. And Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did he put any other stipulations down? Not at all. So when people, if you ever get somebody to ask you what it takes to be a Christian, just say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all that simple. But we as human beings like to form committees and make it a little bit more. And I think that's what happened to the Jewish faith. I think they formed committees and they made it complicated. Our faith cannot be complicated. Now, does that mean we throw thinking out? Not at all. We should be thinking Christians all the time. But we should not let that thinking become legalistic and put extra rules and regulations that can trick us up and maybe ensnare us and put little strings around, you know. It's never to be done that way. And unfortunately, we know, as I said, Simon Peter was about ready to see someone who was looking for a faith that would shed him of anything that would even come close to being complicated. Okay, would there be criticisms of Simon Peter for following through with what God wanted him to do? Yes. And there may be criticisms of you walking down the street with someone that may not have a very good reputation. But you may be the person that they see Christ in. Never forget that. And sometimes we may be seen with people that perhaps we may not normally would want to socialize with, you know. When I was in my former church in Kentucky, 80% of the population was Roman Catholic. Many a morning I would meet a priest for breakfast and walk down the street with him, and in the afternoon I'd have lunch with an Assembly of God Pentecostal preacher. Now, people could have criticized me for that. But am I going to restrict myself because my mind is so narrow-minded? I didn't throw out any solid doctrine or anything that would cause any problems. But there's always somebody out there that's wanting to criticize and to make trouble. What happens if that happens? Ignore them if you can. If not, tell them that they're just not as mature as you are. And go on. Never be afraid if God is on your side. You know the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? So think about that. When you're faced with obstacles in your way or maybe situations that you may think, well, that may be an embarrassment. Go to God and have God deal with it. God can work out things far better than any of us can. So how would we feel about altering circumstances which may eradicate barriers? Maybe we have all said, well, I'm not going to be the one to change. Have you ever heard that? The other person will have to do the changing. Well, if people are open to God's guidance, He will use ordinary daily circumstances to tear down those walls of Jericho, which creates this attitude of rejection. When we move beyond our own boundaries, it may help others come to discover a meaningful faith. Is it possible that God would want us to discard some preconceived notions and to widen those circles of unlikely friends or even thoughts? Yes, it's a challenge, but God will help us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, so we are faced with things today that we never thought about 30 years ago. How we handle them must come from you. and we rely upon you to do so. We are always in a state of transition, regardless if we like it or not. Help us, O Lord, to cope with it, but know that we are your children, and you will make the best decisions for us. Help us and guide and lead us. Let us look to you always for what we need in you. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.